has my mother left in me? How much of my love will be insane to some degree? And what about this feeling that I'm never good enough? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? How much of my father am I destined to become? Or will I dim the lights inside me just to satisfy someone? Or will I let this woman kill me, or do away with jealous love? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? I can't feel the love I want, I can't feel the love I need, but it's never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the thought? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? How much like my brothers do my brothers wanna be? Does a broken home become another broken family? Or will we be there for each other like nobody ever could? Or will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? I can't feel the love I want, I can't feel the love I need, but it's never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? Never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood?
Good morning, everyone. Stand on up. Let's worship the Lord. Welcome to Haven Community Church. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. When you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day, you called my name. Into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you, when you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. A lot of you don't look like it's really glorious right now. You look like you just rolled out of bed. He rescued, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day, you called my name. Into your glorious day. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
art near. The peace of God surrounding me and casting out all fears. The hand that holds the heavens is the mighty hand that saves. The voice that calms the stormy seas is calling me by name, and I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the cross, the promise of your life. 'Cause I am yours forever, and Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. When I have forgotten the fullness of your grace, where you took my place, and I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise of your life. 'Cause I am yours. the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of Jesus' redeeming love, redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise of your love, because I am yours forever. Praise you, Jesus. And Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, you are mine.
Amen. We're so glad that we stand in the victory of the cross. Amen. All right, everyone, before you sit down today, just, you don't have to touch anybody, because we don't do that anymore, I guess not, unless you want to, I don't care. But just say, hey, good to see you in church today. Go ahead. And then to your second choice, go ahead and say, good to see you in church today.
Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus didn't say you might find rest, or that somehow you'll find rest as you wander aimlessly through this life. He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's a promise. You can take Jesus at his word. You can choose to take all your cares and worries, anxiety and pain, habits and hurts, and give them to Jesus. Are you restless? Are you weary and worn out? If given the opportunity, could today be that day of rest?
Tomorrow is Labor Day, correct? Can you believe we're up to Labor Day weekend already? And Labor Day is about resting from your labor. Sound good? Anybody got a day off of work? Anybody not? All right, a couple of you. All right. All right, so here we go. We are in our series, I Choose a Better Way. We're going to start today with some prayer requests, and we have several of them. Kip asked for prayers for a friend's health, and for several unspokens. God knows them. Let me see here. Patty Miller asked for prayers to keep her family in your prayers. Paul. Her brother Paul has been put on hospice, so we want to continue to lift Paul. Anybody knows Paul Smith knows he's a character. Paul is, there will be a great void when heaven takes him, and heaven will never be the same with Connie Cohen and Paul Smith back together in full strength and power, that's for sure. But we want to pray. We're still praying for God's divine healing, but we also know that Paul is, he's ready to be with the Lord, and he'll tell you. So he's a great guy, and definitely be with Patty and them. Just so much loss of people who were instrumental in my life over the years, just thinking about this. Joanna and Ron asked for prayers. Also, Lou is back in the hospital. Lou has always had these up and downs. And if you ever get a chance to talk to Lou, Lou's just a great guy. And we love him. We know it's not because of his will. He would love to keep on going. But continue to give him prayers. Joanne, unspoken prayers as well. And also, we want to lift up prayers for Kathy and Katie and Kim. They've lifted up. Pray for their 7-year-old cousin who is in the pediatric ICU at Johns Hopkins with a rare complication from COVID. So she is stable this morning, but has had a rough couple days. So 7 years old. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. Karen Verde also asked for prayers for Amy and Nathan Klein. Nathan will have brain surgery on September 15th. And pray for Amy as she continues to seek employment and as they're trying to keep to help take care of Nathan, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. Also pray for those. They've been back, many of our teachers who have been back, students who have been back for schools and all kinds of other things that are going on. Let's continue to lift them in prayers. Let's go to pray. Lord God, we are here again today on this first week of September of 2021. God, we... We know that you hold all things in your hand. We know that there are many prayer requests. We want to lift up those for all, particularly today as we're talking about this one seven-year-old who's dealing with complications for COVID. We ask that you be with all people who are dealing with it, particularly as we lift up a seven-year-old. For Paul Smith and family, God, we know that he's a strong man and he's been through a lot in life. But we also know that he loves you, and we just ask for prayer for him and Sharon and the entire family in this difficult time. For Lou, we love him, and we know that, God, that he's got a lot of spunk and a lot of fight. So, God, we just thank you for his fervor in life. Be with him during this time as he's in the hospital. Be with Joanne and just for all others, God, who we've lifted up on the prayer list, friends of ours who have unspoken prayer requests and all kinds of other things. Regardless of what happens for the Klein family, regardless of whatever is needed, God, you know the answers and you know what they need. And for that and all things, we want to give you praise and just ask that you meet those needs exactly where you are. For anybody else who's here today that just is unsure of what's going on, for Pastor Oog, who has also dealt with a lot of loss this year, but also is just really making an impact in the community, we give you thanks for him and for all others. So, Lord, just whatever you have for us today, I ask that you speak it to us, speak it loud. Sometimes, God, you may even need to yell in our ears, but whatever you need to do to get this across to us, do so. And we give you all the praise, glory, honor. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody says, amen, amen, awesome. All right, so we are up to September, and what we're looking at, we have a couple announcements that I want to touch on. We have a couple things going on, so we'll hit some of the announcements. Youth group will meet after church on Sundays. You can check on that. We our youth are always doing something really cool. Grief Share is going on. If you want to connect to that, you don't have to. If you're like, oh, I missed it, you can still connect to it. You can plug right in. It's a great opportunity. I have never heard one person who's been to Grief Share that said, oh, that was a waste of my time. Everybody has really appreciated that, whether Zoom or whether live. They really appreciate connecting to Grief Share. And as you can hear, there is a lot of grief that goes around. What I like to say is also grief does not wait. Till Grief Share isn't like organized, and then we go, oh, we built up all our grief. Now it's time. Oh, now we can have grief and go to Grief Share. So that's why you can plug in. It's just a great opportunity for you to go ahead and connect with that. September 5th will be our last day, which is today, for collecting the Operation Christmas Child things for school. If you have some questions, we can go ahead and kind of connect to that, right? If somebody left something or whatever, Marge will help you get connected to that as well. Paris Foundation on the 19th of September, we'll be doing 60 dinner bags, and you guys are awesome for that. We'll have some more information. And you can mark this down on your calendar. On the 24th, Elkton Community Kitchen. And there's several things that are needed. Two people hang out and hang out the completed bags from 10:30 to 1 p.m. and 40 bag lunches dropped off between 10:30 and 11 a.m. And so we'll talk more about that in the up and coming weeks. But we'd love to get people who would like to go ahead and connect. And also beginning September 9th, 6:30 to 8:30, the women's group will be meeting. And they will be going through a study in the book of Hebrews. So if you're, reminds me of that old joke, you know, that God likes coffee, Hebrews, get it? But anyway, sorry, I don't write them, I just tell them. So if you want to connect with that, that would be awesome, 6:30 to 8:30 every Thursday evening. All right, sound good? Yep. Everybody good? Okay. All right. So we are going to, I'm going to put up here, there's our QR code. They already did that. They're awesome. Ahead of the game. A QR code, that is, if you do not want the regular bulletin or don't have it, go ahead, take out your smartphone, go ahead, hit that up there, your camera, hit it, and you can have your own digital copy. And it's all good. All right. I'm healing today from the West Virginia loss to Maryland, but you'll be with me and I'll get through it. Okay. All right. So we are in our week two of our series called I Choose a Better Way. I Choose a Better Way. And today, the topic is, what's important instead of busyness? Instead of busyness. So here we go. I was thinking about a time. I was at the gym one time, and I know it's hard for you to believe this, but when I see people, I stop and I start to talk to them. I know, I'll let that settle in for a bit. But I leaned over and I'm kind of talking to someone, and I'm talking to him. I hadn't seen him in a while. I'm like, oh, and I'm joking around with him and just talking. How's everybody doing? And I noticed that the person, this is several years ago. I noticed that the person is like, you know, moving. And I said, okay, you know, and I'm talking a little bit more. And so what's going on? And before you know that, they start going a little bit faster. I'm like, oh, okay, they just want to work out while I'm doing this. And I said, so you're doing well? Yeah, how's your job? And before I know it, pretty soon they're like in a full-out sprint. And they're talking, and they have this panic look, and they said, would you get your arm off the button? You know, they just had to stop. I had leaned up against the button, and they're like, like this, and they had to fully stop. So I laughed exactly like you did, but, you know, anybody ever had an experience like that? So anyway, it would have been really bad if they went, you know, in a short conversation. But I was kind of thinking about this story because it's pretty funny, for me at least. But I was thinking about, you know, is this kind of like your life, that little by little, barely noticeable at first? Because, you know, as I'm talking to the person, he was just walking along, and it was barely noticeable at first. They were just doing a warm-up, and then I thought, oh, they're just kind of, you know, you know, slowly at first, it starts to pick up pace. Do a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more. And then it's kind of like our life. It starts to pick up pace a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. And before we know it, we're at an all-out sprint and we're just holding on for dear life, wondering what's going to happen here. So we decide we're going to get a little bit more efficient, and we're going to get a little more aggressive, and we're going to take on this job, and then we're going to take on another job, and then we're going to take on student loan debt, and then we're going to take on a car payment, and then we're going to take on a girlfriend who becomes a wife, or a boyfriend who becomes a husband, and then we're going to take on other kinds of debts, and that girlfriend or husband's going to give us what we call babies, and then we have some babies, and then we take on diapers. 10 years of diapers, at least, in this household. I bribed Judah for potty training. I totally bribed him. I am proud of that. I said, here is a, he wanted this car race set. I showed him videos daily. And I bought it, and I showed him. I'm telling you, get out of diapers. You can do this. I think I've had it out 3 times. I don't care. I don't care whether it's $3,000. It's saved for diapers. But you have diapers, so you have those. And then you have daycare, and then you have preschools, and then you have other babies, and then you have soccer and football and dance and baseball and ballet and braces and more kids and a second job and more debt. And all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and you're feeling overwhelmed. Like somebody went on the treadmill of your life. And I wonder how many of you in your own way would say, I feel a little bit rushed, a little bit anxious, a little bit overwhelmed, and that I don't have enough hours in the day. I just can't get enough done. So if you're like me, what you try to do is you try to squeeze in a little bit more. You try to become a little more efficient. You even get to the point where you analyze the grocery line. And that one person, right as you get to the end, that one person goes, and they have like 50,000 items in the 10 item, and you get angry. Anybody else? Anybody like start counting people's items? Like, no. You know, like you're like that. And so you start to get this way. You get really, really frustrated, and so then you're the person who like you're looking like 5 cars ahead where you can like this one, that one's going a little slow, and then you're up to the stoplight by the same 10 people you passed. You know, I mean, we're like that. And some of you, hey, and this may be TMI, some of you try to multitask even in the bathroom. Like you're doing your business while you're doing your business. You know what I mean? TMI, okay, there we go. Right, but you know what I mean? There are people who that's why you never use anybody else's phone, just letting you know. Right? And this is how we are. We are so multitasking, and we just try to do more and more and more and more, and we're rushed and we're hurried, and we wonder why we're just on this treadmill of life. And for some of us, it may be even something different, that you would occasionally or maybe often you say, I'm just really disappointed in the way my life is going or how it's turned out. I don't like the pace of it. I don't like the intensity. And then you just start to say, you know, with everything going on, there's something that's still missing here. I have no time to do the things that I want. No time to do the things I love, or worse yet, I don't even really have time for the people that I love. And then you start saying to yourself, is this really what life is supposed to be? Is this really what the pace of life is supposed to be? Is this really what I'm supposed to do in life? What if I told you this? What if I told you that the greatest enemy to the life that you want is the life that you're living? I'll say that again. What if the greatest enemy to the life that you want is the life that you are living? So that's why today's message is called What's Important Instead of Busyness. Now, there was a man who was in a hurry. It was a busy street. And he was so in a hurry. He had so much stuff to get done. He had a list. He had a honey-do list. He had his own things to do. And he's running. And it was so busy in the air that what ended up happening is he ran out in front of a bus and got hit. Now, he was a devout Catholic. And he knew that his life was, you know, wasting away here in his last moments. So he yelled out. He said, "Can I have a priest? Can I have a priest?" So the crowd looked frantically, yelled, "Anybody a priest? Anybody a priest? Anybody a priest?" And finally an elderly Jewish man came out of the crowd and said, I'm not a priest, but I'm not even Catholic. I'm Jewish. He said, "But I live behind a Catholic church, and I hear them chanting all the time." And they said, "Well, anybody?" Said, "Okay, that's what we'll do." So he went there, and they brought him to the man. He said, if I can recite exactly what I heard in order to help you in your dying moments, in his dying moments." So they went and they asked the man. He said, "Yeah, please, just go ahead." And he said, "Go ahead." And the old Jewish man stopped for a second. He said, "B29, I-53, N-14, bingo." Right? Get it? I thought that was funny. Anyway, all right. We are often so much in a hurry that we don't. We'll just take whatever. You guys are just getting it, right? You like it? It's great. That's funny, Lisa. Get out of here. All right. That's funny. I don't care what you say. All right. But anyway, we are often in such a hurry that we end up on the ground just accepting bingo instead of getting what we need from God. So I'd ask if we just stop for a minute and pray, particularly after the joke that you guys didn't like. But I'll give you another one, too, if you don't like that one. I'll make you laugh. All right, here we go. So let's pray. Father, I pray by the power of your Spirit and your truth, the truth of your word, that you would speak to us in a way, God, in your way, that would lead us not into just the truth of Jesus, but that you'll empower us to live the way that Jesus lived and love the way Jesus loved. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so here's a confession. Confession is, this is a message that I'm going to preach today that is one of the most difficult for me to preach because it's completely opposite of the way I live and have lived my life. I hate this series. Whoever has a pastor say, "I hate this series," we'll come back next week. It's not me. For me... sitting around, like I told you last week, in my 20s, I had the great spirit of sloth. But something happened, and now I'm just like shot out of a cannon. I feel like if I'm not filling every moment of the day, I feel like I'm wasting life. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had a thing, spend to be spent in service to the Lord. Pray, preacher, die at a moment's notice. So I figure if I'm not praying or preaching or if I'm not doing something, then it's time for me to die. And that's just kind of something I've put into my mind and my life and going at a pace like this. So I don't like this at all. So slow offends me. If you are in the fast lane and you are going slow, I want to let you know you are the next thing next to Satan, because that is wrong. You should not do that. That is evil. You're causing evil in me. Anybody else with me? I don't like slow. I don't like
just methodical. I hate when you go places and you're there and somebody says, okay, we're going to talk, and they just kind of take like 20 minutes to get rolling. And I'm like, come on, let's move. I don't like when somebody's at the gym and they're doing a set of something and they're just like, I'm like, come on. Like yeah, I'm bad, I'll confess. But like I watch somebody do one rep and take six laps around the machine, and I'm like agitated by that, you know? Do something. Right? All right. So it's slow just bothers me. You get it? It just does. And I will let you know the blanks of slow. Like, I don't even like remember when you used to go to the movies? Remember the movie theater? Remember those things? And like, when they show, like, the ads, I'm like, come on, give me something else. I need something that's exciting. And so, so honestly, like, I'm the kind of guy who probably have said once or twice, the devil doesn't take a day off, and neither do I. You know, I'll rest when I'm dead. You know, those kind of things. That's just kind of how I am. And so I'm guessing that there's a lot of you that are probably as dysfunctional as I am, or you're getting a good dose of my dysfunctional attitude today. But some of you are probably feel busier than you should be, because we've all got places to go, jobs to do, people to see, kitchens to clean, bills to pay, kids to raise, news to read, yards to mow, dinners to cook. Gosh, clothes to buy, clothes to sell, yard sales to set up, so that somebody else can buy your clothes that you need to get rid of. I mean, this is the pace that we have time and time and time again. We got Netflix shows to binge watch. We got all this kind of stuff that we need to do. And we're at a pace that is just nonstop. And just because the pace of life is what you find yourself doing. You're on that treadmill, and you're going faster and faster and faster and faster, and you're sprinting through life. You realize that you don't have time for the things that you wish you had for the people that you wish you could spend time with. Have you ever thought the last time you had a meal, sit-down meal with your family, that wasn't a holiday that forced you to do it? Think about it. And McDonald's in the car does not count. All right? But what I'm saying is, when is the last time you had that opportunity to do those things? We don't have time to rest or reflect on what we really enjoy, on intimacy with God. We just don't have time. But the good news is this, neither does anybody else. So we think, okay, it might be right then. Everybody else is so busy that must be God's will. But it's not. What if I told you that the greatest enemy to the life you want is the life that you're living right now? And so in our message series called I Choose a Better Way, we are not just looking at the truth of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. We are not just looking at the truth, but we're looking at the way that Jesus lived and loved. And if we look in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it really is fascinating to think about how Jesus lived. It's really kind of amazing to see how Jesus lived. He had 3 years of ministry, 3 years of public ministry. That's it. 3 years. And through that 3 years, he embraced his father's mission fully. He recruited a ragtag group of 12 people, plus other followers. He trained them in kingdom values. He endured the hatred of the Pharisees. He resisted temptation from the devil. He healed all sorts of sick people. He loved all sorts of hurting people. He preached the word of God fearlessly. He fulfilled 351 Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus never, ever, ever ran. Ever. Jesus never ran anywhere. He never did. Nothing. If we read the Gospels, there is no record of Jesus running, sprinting, fast walking. Jesus never fast walked. I challenge you to look cool fast walking. You can't do it. You're like, yeah, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be masculine. You can't do it, right? So Jesus never fast walk. Jesus never ran. Jesus never jogged. Jesus never had a brisk walk. Never, 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 never. I challenge you to find it. He never did. Now, you can find other examples in the scripture because running is important to disciples. I'll prove it to you. John writes, after the resurrection, Peter took off running and John outran him. Running is important to them. Do you think if Jesus took off running, he'd say, and Jesus went and did a marathon? Yes, he would. But for him, never did Jesus ever, ever run. Jesus was busy, but he was never rushed. Busy, but never rushed. He never said to the disciples, man, guys, you know, we're behind schedule. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Pick it up, pick it up. Come on, disciples. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say, Bartholomew is late. We are going to leave him behind. We will teach him a lesson. Never did that. He never said, you know what, guys, they need us in Capernaum. Let's get up, brush your teeth, let's go. You know, he never, ever said anything like that. He was busy with extremely important stuff, but never was rushed on the inside. He never, ever once ran. Does that amaze you? To me, I mean, that amazes me that Jesus never ran. And in Mark chapter 2, there's a phrase that you see repeatedly in the gospel. And I love that I'm using Mark today because Mark is he writes very rudimentary. He's probably the youngest that we know of the gospel writers when they wrote this. And he's very rudimentary. He wouldn't have done very well in English class because he just is very rudimentary. And he writes like, and he kind of talks like a little kid. Immediately, Jesus went here, and then he did this, and then he did that. But Mark never says Jesus ran. And here's actually what he says here in Mark chapter 2. As Jesus did what? Walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and followed him. And so Levi is Matthew, one of the writers of the gospel, and this is Jesus calling. But you see this, is one example, and I could have given you billions of examples. I was thinking about Levi, and one of the things that's fascinating to me is if Jesus was unrushed, and Matthew/Levi followed Jesus, so Jesus did what? What did he do? He walked, and if Levi followed him, what did he do? Walked. Sorry, Siri's talking to me. He walked as well. So if Jesus has an unrushed walking life, what was Levi's life? Unrushed and walking. That's exactly what he did. And so I started looking at this. What about us? If we follow an unrushed Jesus, then we should be living an unrushed life. I don't know about you, but that's kind of convicting to me, very convicting to me. By the way, but when I look at this, the way I live is completely different from the way Jesus lived, completely different. So you find yourself on the treadmill of life. The pace is picked up beyond what you're expecting. You're often rushed and stressed and overwhelmed and exhausted and trying to get things done and always fall short. And then you come to Jesus. Jesus invites you to come, and he says, remember the old Roy Rogers commercial? Slow down, cowpoke, right? He wants you to slow down. He wants us to completely slow down. And he says to him, if you come to me, if you're worn out, if you're overwhelmed, if you're burdened, I'm going to give you something that many have not experienced in a long time. I'm going to give you a heavenly rest. And we looked at this text last week from Matthew chapter 11. And last week we looked at it from the New International Version. Today I want to look at it from the Message. If you don't know what the Message was written by a guy named Eugene Peterson. And actually, he was a pastor at one point down in Bel Air, Maryland. I don't know if anyone knew that. And during what he did is he wanted his Sunday school class to really be able to understand scripture in the vernacular, in the context of today. So he translated, I think it was the book of Hebrews, he translated that for his Sunday school, a teen Sunday school class into vernacular, and that's what started the Message, the gospel. And what is the Message? The Message is basically a devotional kind of translation. It's not a word for word, but it's kind of a devotional translation, and it's like loosely the vernacular. Now, it's not heretical, but it's like more of a vernacular paraphrase. And so here's what he says in the same section we talked about last week. Are you tired? Anybody tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? I'm burned out on religion, not God. I am. Have you seen how religion is reacting? Anybody seen how religion's reacting in the world? It's not all good, all right? So he says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'm going to say that again. Because a lot of times we're on the treadmill so much that we feel like we're just holding on, that we aren't really living. And so he says, come to me, get away with me, and I'm going to give you time to stop and just recover your life. Have you ever had a pace going so fast that it just stops for one reason or another? And when it stops, you don't know who you are? All right? So you're there. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I got to tell you, I hate that verse. I don't want a real rest. I don't like that. Anybody with me? Rest. Oh, no, can't do that. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the, I love this quote here, the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythm of grace. Watch how I do it. And the unforced rhythms of grace. And then here's what he says. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many, when you really think about it, how many of you, you remember like little kids, how like stuff that bothers them lasts for like this amount of time. You know, like, it's the biggest thing for that moment, and like, okay, right? Wouldn't you love to live life light? I mean, wouldn't you? Some of you don't even know how you would live life that way. I don't. Because you carry on. Wait, you know, last week we showed the yoke, and we showed that he says, come to me, are you weary? And he says, and I'll give you a work tool, a yoke, which is two things, but he's the one pulling. Most of us have been pulling that yoke ourselves through life. You know why? Because we're running through life with a yoke, and Jesus is back here saying, you know, I'm walking. And we're running, and we're sprinting through life, and we're getting weary and weary, and we're weighted down in life time and time and time again. Jesus says, walk with me and watch how I walk. Watch how I love. Watch how I live and walk with me. Don't just believe what Jesus believed, but live the way Jesus lived. So think about the way Jesus lived. He lived for only 33 years. He was called to be perfect and to save the world. His mission was to give his life, and he waited 30 years before he began his public ministry. It's fascinating to think what Jesus did in that time. He was baptized by Jabap, remember John the Baptist. Heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on the form of a dove. God the Father said, this is my Son, whom I love and whom I well please. God affirms him publicly before Jesus does any miracles. Jesus is commissioned to change the world. He's ready to go out and do what he was born to do and here to do. And what happens? What's the first thing that he does? Takes a sabbatical. Right? Takes a sabbatical. The Spirit leads him into a dry place for 40 days. He calls out to the Father. He draws close to God. He's strengthened by God. He fights off Satan and the enemy. And his identity is solidified in who he's called to be. He takes 40 days to go be with God. Let's look at his first miracle. Where was it? A wedding. A wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, Jesus could have come in. Yo, everybody, I am the SOG, the Son of God. I'm out. You guys have fun at this wedding. Jesus out and started walking. But no, what did Jesus do? He stayed to the very end. Just kicking back, enjoying his time. So much that his mom came and said, hey, they ran out of wine. He said, why are you bothering me? I'm just hanging out with my buds right here enjoying this. Jesus, do something, okay? And he says, Mom, it's not my time. Just listen to what he does. Perfect mom moment, okay? Just go ahead and do it. And he goes ahead. And then what does he do? He turns the water into wine, and the party goes on more. He's like, yeah, let's just keep this going, you know? He wasn't in a hurry to get out of there. They just, like, and the reason, the amazing thing is, in that culture, they went on for days. I mean, we're getting ready for a wedding, and I would hate to think that this thing's going to go on for days. I'm just letting you know. You know, I mean, we better bring out some real strong stuff early. You know what I mean? Anybody know what I'm saying? That's what Jesus did. He said, hey, you know, I mean, 30 years. He has 3 years to do what he needs to do, and he's not in a hurry to get it done. He's chilling out at a wedding. He says, all right, here we go. We'll turn water into wine. Keep the party on. So that's the first thing that he does in that one. What about this one story? There's a in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. One of the really coolest like stories in Scripture, because there's two different things that are going on here, but it really shows you this concept of Jesus just walking. And what happens is Jesus, everywhere he went, people had to come up to him. People had to run to him. People had to get to him. Right? He was like a rock star, okay? People had to just, if I could just touch him, I'll be healed, this kind of stuff. So there was a synagogue leader. His name was Jairus or whatever anybody wants to say. And he was a really important guy. So he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, my little girl is sick. She's dying. I know that you can make her well. And says, I mean, she's really, really bad. Come on. And Jesus says, all right. Does Jesus run? Nope. Jesus goes, let's go. Now you can imagine being Jairus. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Let's go. Let's go. I got a chair. Nah, I'm walking. It's good. It's a beautiful day out here in the Galilee area. You know, he's just cruising on like this. He's probably going on. But that's not just it. In the meantime, this woman who has this illness of bleeding crawls through the bottom, grabs the hem of his garment. Jesus said, who touched me? His disciples go, what do you mean? There's a billion people around you. Of course, he said, no, I felt power go out. Stops. Jairus is sitting there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody ever had your kid in an ambulance or trying to get them to the hospital? All right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You will do anything. And you want to talk about people slow. Everybody's slow then. Jairus is like, come on. Why are you messing with this woman? Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And so he has this whole little diatribe with her and dialogue. Hey, so how you doing? Okay. Yeah. So what happened? Jairus like, come on. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I had this issue of blood and I went to doctors and he said, hey, well, now you don't have it. You're healed. You're good. Hey, blah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's like, get rid of her. Come on. Come on. Come on. And finally, then they're getting ready. Jesus still talking. Okay. Good to meet you. Yeah, I'm Jesus. Okay. You know, here's my card, whatever he's doing. And in the midst of that, then all of a sudden, somebody comes from Jairus' house and says, hey, sorry, she's gone. She's gone. Let him go. Jesus hears him. And did you love that Jesus is probably ignoring Jairus at that time to focus in on somebody? How many of us, when we're rushed and somebody says, hey, and wants to talk to us, we don't have time because we're trying to get somewhere else. Jesus stopped and met her where she was. Then all of a sudden, he hears this. He said, whoa, 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 no, stop. Just believe. He goes to the house. When he gets to the house, they have professional mourners. They're like, ah! Jesus goes, why are y'all crying? She's just asleep. And they all start laughing. He said, get out. You go. And he says, little girl. Says something that's really rude to somebody who's dead. Get up. I mean, that's bad. He just said, you know, it's really rude unless you are the way, the truth, and the life. And he walked in and said, get up. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And she got up and he said, by the way, get this girl something to eat. And Jesus, you can see him spending time with him. Jesus was busy but never rushed. Never rushed. What about Palm Sunday? Look at his choice of transportation. If I'm Jesus, I am coming in on an Arabian racehorse that's like doing that prancing thing, like, hey, here I am, Jesus, Hosanna, yeah, you got that right, yeah, you know, be like, high fives, low fives, because I'm on a horse, you know, whatever. You would have been like, wow, like that you, they would have been like, man, what's he on? A baby donkey. You ever seen a donkey? Particularly a baby one that hasn't had anybody ride it, that hasn't had any training. They ain't in a hurry for nothing. And they've got the attention span of a 4-year-old. Like, Jesus, like, mosey in there. And that's what he did. He just, I mean, Eeyore is never Tigger, right? Eeyore is just like, oh. You can see, like, that's probably who Jesus wrote. Here we go, Hosanna, right? You know what I mean? That's what's going on. It's a donkey. It's a donkey, and it makes absolutely no sense. And I think it's Jesus, if I had been his PR man, I would have been like, Arabian horse, I'm telling you, you know? Everywhere Jesus went, he walked. Everywhere he went, he walked and he walked and he walked. So if Jesus wasn't rushed, and we are called to follow Jesus, why do you think we are? If Jesus wasn't rushed in his soul and his mind and in his life, then why are you and I? My guess, and I'm going to simplify this, is most of us are rushed over some pressure and pushing it because we're either running from something or we're running to something. I'm going to say that again. We are either running from something or we're running to something. For me, I am probably running from fear and inadequacy and running toward being viewed as good and virtuous and good enough in my life. Just to be honest, for you, I don't know. You may be running from a past failure, something that was said, someone said about you, an insecurity that you want to prove people wrong with, a hurt, an abuse, or something else. Maybe some of you are running to, you got a goal or a vision that you want to have. Maybe your goal is both running from and to. Maybe you don't want to be like your parents, and so you're running exactly to something and some ideal not to be like them. Or maybe you're running toward being liked, or maybe you're running toward the perfect job, and running toward the perfect marriage, and you're like, I'm going to get married, and she's going to be so fine, and we're going to name our kids Mary and John because they're Bible names, and we're going to have a dog, and we're going to name him Pilate because that's in the Bible too, and then we're gonna just be awesome, and you know, I mean, maybe we're running towards success because you have an image in your mind that you're running to. You're running to that image. And so you're running toward success. You're running toward popularity. You're running toward fame. You're running toward that perfect image. And the problem is, for most people in today's culture, you are chasing a life that if you are, let me say, fortunate enough to get it, it will leave you empty once you get there. And then you'll have to run for something else. Sometimes the thing that we chase after most, we catch, and then when we got it, we're like, what the heck did I want with this? Some say, you don't understand, preacher boy. I literally can't get it all done. I don't know about you. I can't slow down. There's too much moving around my life. So respectfully, I want to say to you, you have time for what you choose to have time for. You have time for what you choose to have time for. The solution is not more time. The solution is more of what matters. The reason why most of us don't have time for what matters is because we mindlessly spend our time on what does not matter. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? I'm going to prove to you that we all spend time on things that don't matter. You ready? Okay. Here we go. I could have chose a billion things, but I decided to choose three common ones. Social media, television, and video games. Three that I have wasted a lot of my life on, right? How many are involved in some sort of social media? Anybody? Okay. Anybody have some sort of social media? You've got Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever, TikTok, you know, I mean, you talk about mind-numbing TikTok. Right? YouTube, I mean, other kinds of stuff. I mean, there's a billion different things. Did you know the average person on social media spends, ready for this, 706 hours per year. Yes, 706 hours per year. And if you're younger, congratulations, you're above average. There you go. You know, you are over that. You're over that. So let me give a comparison of what that means. If you take an eight-hour workday, what this means is you spend 4.5 months of your life on social media. 4.5 months of your life. Okay? You have time, what you choose to have time for. Television. Television's a little bit worse. There's over 2,737 hours of binge watching the latest version of whatever your popular show is. And this includes not just the regular TV stuff, because young people don't watch TV at all. They watch Netflix and whatever they can, you know, YouTube and video. You know, I mean, it's all that kind of stuff, right? So that's a, anybody think that's a lot, a high number? I'm not even doing the math there. Terry, help me out. I'm just not even going to try that, all right? So here we go. All right, so video games. Now, I got to tell you, I grew up old school. Like, I am Donkey Kong. I am Pac-Man. Waka, 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 right? I am that guy. A Centipede. I am Tecmo Bowl, long before Madden. Tecmo Bowl. Anybody play Tecmo Bowl? You don't know what you're missing out on, all right? And so Tecmo Bowl, Mario Brothers, the original one, not all those billion different things that they had, but the one you had to go, and you had to hold down the two buttons and go, and grab the flag and ring, yay, right? And Nintendo, all right? And I spent more money and time and hours on that kind of stuff, and I still occasionally do. So I am guilty as charged. I'm gonna hit the men here. Ready? Here we go. Males. So the average male by the age of 21 spends about 10,000 hours on video games. Yeah, 10,000. 10,000 hours on video games. That's a lot. So what can you do with 10,000 hours? You ready? At $10 an hour, you can make $100,000. If you're an average reader, you can read about 2,000 books. You could become a concert pianist. You can get your pilot's license. Not just on the, you know, video game pilot thing either. You can memorize the New Testament. Memorize the New Testament. You can get your undergraduate and graduate degree. You know, when you look at, oh, that'll take 2-3 years to do, that seems a long time, but when you look at this, you have enough. Relationships, you could possibly strengthen your struggling and save your struggling relationship if you donated a little bit of that time to that. You could possibly reconcile a relationship with a family member that has gone bad. You could probably have the most intimate relationship with your children you ever have, or your parents, or someone else. And if you'd just put away that thing that really doesn't matter. Now, I'm not saying these things are bad, but what I'm saying is, we have time for what we have time for in here. You could have something that really matters, or mindlessly spend our time on what doesn't matter. What if this is true? What if the greatest enemy to the life that we want is currently the life that we're living? So what do we do now, Pastor Jack, now that you depressed me on this Labor Day? The answer is, I don't know. I'm struggling too. I'm right here with you. So, hey, you know. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to give you a lot to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that simply, as we talked about last week, where the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you don't slow down, God will slow you down. And that's what I think he's kind of been doing for me, with me in some way. And so I told you last week and the last several months that life has just been, over the last year, a couple years or so, has just been shaking around me in a lot of places. And I can tell you for 11, 12 years or so, I have been on a pace that is just, I feel every moment of the day. And I'm going to tell you, I like that. I like that because it does number of things. Number one, it makes me feel good about myself because, as a counselor told me, I'm very high stem. I know it means I am the laser pointer in a cat. You know, that's me. I'm like, that's how I am all the time. My mind's always working. I'm always doing things. The other reason is, and I'm going to be really honest here, is that when life is so busy, when it's so busy that I have things to do, and number one, I get fed by helping people, by pouring my life into people, by serving people. It's one of the things I do. It's just like what I like to do. It's just who I am. It's just how I'm put together. But one of the things is, when I'm doing that, I don't have to think about what's going on in here. All right? So one of the reasons why I stay, because when the treadmill's at the fastest pace, you aren't like, oh, look how many calories I'm burning, what my heart rate is. No, you're just holding on to get to the to get through that. And that's just kind of how I've lived life for, you know, for 10 to 15 years, if not longer. And so I just, when life around me has changed to the point where it's kind of like forced me into a screech, here and look around, I am fish out of water and I am not comfortable at all. And I don't like it. And I will find myself wandering around to do things. Yeah, me. I mean, that's odd. But I just, I don't feel comfortable in those areas. So, you know, like I said, I like this ongoing busyness. And so God is just kind of wants me to kind of get a little bit still in my own nature, giving me some things to do, but also causing me some reflection time in there to get some alone time. Because if you live in a house with all the people and animals and things we have, and some of the people are animals too, if you're in that kind of situation, you don't get much peace, which is good because it keeps me busy. All right, you see what I mean? But when you have some opportunity to just be alone and think and do some things, I think what God wants me to do is get back to the basics and ask the question, who is God? So that's a question I've been asking. One of the best answers I can tell you is this: God is love. Okay, I'm going to start there. God is love. It's not what he does, but it's who he is. It's who God is. What is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The core is love, and to be loved by him, and to love him so that I can love others. I always heard that Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And we think he gave him two, but it's one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbors yourself. Because we really know how much we love God by how we treat our neighbors. Let that sink in for a bit. Okay? It's easy to say, I love God, and then go and dump our doggy do on the neighbor's porch. You know what I mean? That's not love, the love of the Father for other people. And so that's the first thing that we need to look at. And the challenge is in the book that I gave you last week, and some of you have told me that you picked that up or you got it, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. John Mark Comer writes in this book, love is incompatible with hurry. Love is incompatible with hurry. And I'm always in a hurry. Yet I feel like I can love people. I feel like I have enough love to give for people. But he's right, because in the Bible, Paul's definition is this. Love is patient. You ever tried to be patient in a hurry? How's that work for you? They don't work together. So love is patient. Love takes time. Hurry does not have time. It does not have time. So the other thing that I'm going to invite you and challenge you this week, I'm going to give you homework. Okay, I'm going to give you homework, and it's for you online as well, church online. You got this too. And you got a whole day tomorrow that you can start this with. And so this is going to be a week of this, a week of homework, and it's really short. But I want you to do this this thing for every day, once a day, for 7 days. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer that's up here. And it's this. God, help me walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. Okay, let's say that with me here. God, help me walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. Would that take you 8 seconds? Okay, once a day, as soon as you get up, go ahead and do that. And remind yourself of that. You may want to put it somewhere where you're going to be. And so what's going to happen when you pray this prayer? I don't know. But what's going to happen? And I'm going to think there's a couple things that I think is going to happen. Number one, I think God is going to begin to work on you and me. Going to call me to be what I think is torturous, present in the moment. Present in the moment. I cannot tell you the last time that I really, I mean, besides forcing myself to, naturally lived in the moment. I am always in the past or the future. Always. I am always in the past or the future. I'm already thinking about 2022. That's where my mind goes. All right? And I never, but you know what happens when you're in the past and the future? You live in regrets and hopes. And you don't enjoy now what God is doing. Okay? You don't enjoy the moment. The moment. And you miss out on things. So God is calling me to be present in the moment. I am somebody who is always, I'm there physically, but I am always miles away mentally. And because I'm so consumed of some thought in the past, some worry I have, some struggle, something that somebody has or needs and a concern, and I just get so focused on those, or what's going to happen here and how I'm going to, and so I'm always in those two places. The second thing is, I believe that God's going to have us begin to choose what's going to begin to challenge us to choose what's important and eliminate what's not. As hard as it is for me, I'm asking God to lead my steps and to help me walk slowly, slowly. And you know what? I'm starting to find out is that picking up my phone to look at something is not nearly as important as the person who's sitting across the table from me. And so, in that case, it's fascinating to go ahead and just think that, God, I need you to lead my steps. I need you to get rid of some of the stuff that's not as important. Doing something for someone, sending a message to someone, just saying, hey, I want to tell you that I was thinking about you, and I hope you're doing well today. Stopping, if you're rushing into a store and somebody's there and you see somebody and you know this is going to be a 10-minute conversation, force yourself to go to the 10-minute conversation and see how God blesses them and blesses you, and that individual and you, all right, in those moments. So sometimes that stuff is not nearly as important. Those little things. And we are so distracted. We're so distracted. And over the years, there's a lot of things that I end up drifting toward that just really don't matter in life. And you may say, you may have to say no to some things right now in order to say yes to something that's better to come. And I don't like to let things go. You know what I mean? Every church I left, I never liked to let go because I love the people so much. Every group that I was a part of, a class that I taught, I had a love and a connection for the individuals. Every person I come across, I just believe God put them in there, and I've always loved that. But sometimes you may have to say no to some things in order to say yes to something that's better. And third, and I think this is the most important one, at least to me, I think this prayer is going to help us sense God's presence and recognize his voice. To see God working in the places that I'm too busy to even notice, and I couldn't even hear him because I'm too busy. And so that's the invitation for the next 7 days. God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus walked through life and all his ministry and his life, he was walking and he was walking. He wasn't walking aimlessly. He wasn't walking aimlessly. He was walking toward a destination. And that destination was the cross. Jesus was always walking toward the cross. Day after day, moment after moment, step after step, he was fulfilling his Father's purpose and mission for his life, step by step, walking to the cross. So we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't just embrace the truth that he taught and desire the life that he offers, but we also need to live the way he lived and love the way he loved. And so if you're following Jesus, shouldn't we all be walking a little bit? Where are you walking to? Or you're walking to lay down your life for something more important. The answer is not more time, it's more of what matters. So you have time for what you choose for. So just pray to God today and say, so God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. Amen? All right. As our worship team comes forward and we move to this last moment here. I ask that you will, if you'll just stand with me and as we go to the Lord in prayer during this time and get ready to send you out today. All right, so bow your heads with me as we just pray and hear what God has to say to us here. God, just help us to slow down. Help us to walk with you slowly in each and every step of life. To love you fully and to love people more deeply. So, Father, I thank you in advance for all the different ways that we're going to see you in our lives and for all the different ways we will enjoy what matters most as you lead our steps, as you direct us. God, help us to walk with you, to be willing to interrupt you, to see the needs and the people and feel the joy that we might feel that we haven't felt in years, if ever. And so we thank you, God, that there may be healing. There might be a reprioritizing that, God, we pray that your truth would sink deep into our hearts, that we'll have time to do what you've called us to do, that God, that you'll help us to choose what matters most. We shared in this room today that there's some people who have been sick and some that are, that, you know, are maybe even on death's doorstep. And God, right now, we're not thinking about all the other stuff that we want to do, or we're just thinking about, man, I just want to spend more time with them. I just want more time. So God, let us spend time with those that we love. Help us to love you and love your people as we're loved by you. And what if the greatest enemy to the life that we live is the life that we're living? There's some of us right now that we're trying everything to make us happy. Maybe this relationship will maybe make me happy. Maybe this job, maybe this money, maybe these shoes, maybe this house, maybe these countertops, maybe this car, maybe this city. Maybe this thrill, maybe this experience, and on and on and on. And God, we still come up empty. Why? Maybe it's because we're trying to fill a God-shaped void with something that's not God. Maybe it's because we're a spiritual being created by God to know his goodness, and nothing in the world will ever satisfy but Jesus. So if you recognize today something that's missing and you're longing for something more, step into the fullness of what God has for you. Recognize that Jesus is the way. He's the way to the Father. He is the truth. He is the life. And may God want you to have that more abundantly through the gift of Jesus Christ. And God, we ask this in your name. Amen.
I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise of your life. 'Cause I am yours forever, and Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. Of your grace. Yes, I remember Calvary, where you took my place. I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. Of your life, 'cause I am yours forever, and Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. There's no one like you, God. immeasurable and strong. There is no one like you, God. So lead this heart to sing in awe. There is no one like you, God. Love immeasurable and
awesome, everyone. I want you to have a great week this week and slow down. Everybody's in a rush. Slow down, enjoy life. And again, thank you for the offering. I should have announced that before. Thank you for your gifts. Really making a difference. Got some stuff back from Pastor Oog. Is so thankful just for everything that you're doing. And he's really making a difference. Able, even in the midst of all this kind of craziness, to help educate two other children, thanks to your gift, to send them to school where they never would have been educated. You guys are doing awesome. So continue to give yourself a bigger hand than that. That's awful. So you can clap more rap. You don't have to be really slow or clapping. I mean, it's not an 80s movie. All right. So but most importantly, just stop and just take some time to breathe in God this week. Okay, in life. Just wherever, because guess what? When you leave here, yes, tomorrow you got plans, but how many of you got so many plans tomorrow that it's already busy and hectic because you got to go to the store, got to run here and get this, got to make sure you have buns because everybody else is going to take buns and they're going to have no hot dogs on hamburger buns and that makes everybody hate you and you know what I mean? So, I mean, we got that in us already. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Spend time. If you're eating a hot dog in your hand, dipping it in some ketchup because you're weird. Regardless, enjoy the people that you're sitting with. Enjoy the time that you're with, and mostly enjoy God this week. God bless. Have a great week.